We welcome you into another edition of our Warriors Weekly podcast. I'm going to call this one a bonus edition, Steiny. Second one this week, and we spent the earlier one this week talking about how the Warriors are in a danger zone coming off the loss to San Antonio. Well, then it got worse because they went to Orlando and the Magic beat them. But just when you think the Warriors are in major trouble, and maybe they still are, they somehow go to Miami and they win without Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, or Draymond Green. Pretty incredible last night as we record this Thursday morning.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, I obviously didn't think they were going to win that game last night. But, you know, what you find out is that every other team's going through stuff too. And clearly the Heat are going through something. And obviously, obviously Butler and Spoelstra got into it. But what it also tells me is something was leading up to that. Like, that didn't just happen on one play. Something was going on. And then you start looking at Miami and you see that they lost to Philly the other night when Philly didn't play a lot of guys. And obviously something's going on with Miami. But all that said, I didn't think these young Warriors would be able to kind of bring it home. And I don't know what it means long term, but for the short term, it's going to make the Warriors feel better till Friday.
Yeah, and I think it's there's a couple of ways to look at it, right? I mean, and I guess the one thing I wanted to ask you is, why do you think that when the Warriors have basically taken everybody out, right? And I know last night wasn't everybody, but they've fared better for whatever reason in the games that have felt like, you know what, we don't really care if we win tonight because players X, Y, and Z are not going to play. We're going to play the young guys. Sometimes Wiggins has been part of that. Sometimes he hasn't. Like, there's been varying degrees of it. But they've played better when they've just separated the core three completely from everybody else, and then they've let everybody else go get it. Now, is that the opponent doesn't care and you don't get as strong an effort? Some of that going on last night, some of it in Denver. How do you reconcile all of that? Because there have been a handful of games, not all wins, where the Warriors have played a lot better when they've just taken everybody among the big boys away.
I want to say Whitey Gleason had a stat that they're 3-4 when they play without all three of them, which is three wins more than you would think they'd have, or at least two. I do think there's something to be said for when you have young players that, and they know they're going to play, that's got to make them feel pretty good. But how about this? And this is what I'm going to talk about today. I actually think this term came to mind as they won that game last night. I think last night was an organizational win. It's the kind of game where, you know, your young players, the players who have been here 1 year or 2 years, have now gotten entrenched enough where it's not just good enough to go out there and make a showing. There's something about Draymond, Klay, and Steph watching a game, and I know Steph wasn't there, but just knowing that these kids that those three kind of ledge are watching them. And I think last night is what happens when you kind of bring guys up the right way. You demand certain things of them. You know, you look at Kuminga, he's gotten better from day one till last night. You know, that's a credit to both him, but also the organization. I just think that there's a built-in mentality of, you know, even though our best players aren't out, dare I say it, we're still the Golden State Warriors, and we're not the Detroit Pistons. So we're not just going to lose two games badly to the Magic and the Miami Heat.
And I think it's a good point. I also, though, then go to, well, why does it look so bad against Orlando, and why did it look so bad against San Antonio? Because you could make the case, and look, I know it's not, but this is how fans think. If you can beat Miami the way that they beat Miami last night, then this team should be 3-0 over the last three games and not 1-2. And while it was a big win and you know, three games up on Utah now and Dallas for the fourth and the fifth seeds. Important win, one they had to get. But you start to look at it, and it's, you know, why does it not click when because, some of the pieces are there?
Because among Poole, Wiggins, and Kuminga, who are like their three scorers, first of all, like only one of those guys has played a good game. Okay, Klay and Draymond aren't Klay and Draymond right now. That's just a fact. Steph's out, and Klay and Draymond aren't Klay and Draymond. So now you have Kuminga, Poole, and Wiggins. Well, bottom line is, you know, Poole's been great. He's been great night in and night out. Wiggins, he's been bad two out of every three games. And Kuminga's basically the same. He's good one out of three games. So you start putting that together and you realize they're lacking talent. So the only way for them to win is for those three guys to play well, or at least positively. And then Damian Lee has his one good game in the past month, and that's why it happens. If obviously Draymond and Klay are going to play, but if this team were to play Atlanta Friday, I wouldn't think they're going to win the game with this lineup against Atlanta, just because that team last night to me is a 25 win team. So they're going to win 25 games at some point.
And that's one of the 25. That game would have just been one of the 25. And you see that with other teams that aren't very good throughout the league. Oh, hey, so-and-so beat so-and-so. And we were just joking about it a couple of weeks ago with, oh, Minnesota went in and lost in Orlando and then went and won in Miami,
Exactly. After
that. And other teams have obviously done it. I think to stretch this conversation forward, though, it becomes an issue of, and I think you alluded to this, you know, how do the Warriors get closer to the Andrew Wiggins, not last night, but the Andrew Wiggins they're going to need when you bring Klay Thompson back into the fold? How do you get Jordan
Poole? I don't know.
How do you get Jordan Poole, Steiny, who's the best three-point shooter in the NBA for the month of March? He's made more three-pointers than anybody in the league in the month of March at 48% from three. Like, how do you get him to fit his game? Because, yeah, last night was fun, and we can talk about give Jordan Poole his flowers, and is he on the come as far as maybe being a star? I mean, that's probably a conversation for down the line. The more immediate conversation is, how do the Warriors get the most out of Jordan Poole and the most out of Andrew Wiggins and even Jonathan Kuminga, to be honest, because he was awesome last night. The Heat had no answer for him. How do you get the most out of those three when you have everybody and you're trying to win a playoff series?
All right, here's what I think. Let's put Kuminga to the side. So let's look at Poole, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Andrew Wiggins. The bottom line is, if you were asked to describe each of those four players, at least three of them would be called scorers. And the one who might not be is Wiggins, but you know what? Wiggins is an 18-point. Like, I don't think you can get them all going at the same time. Because here's what I think. Like, Jordan Poole, I guess he had a career high in assists last night, but he's not a point guard. He's a playmaker. He'll pass when he can't get a shot off. Klay's not a passer. Wiggins is not a passer. So when Curry comes back as the best passer and facilitator, it's almost like he gets the short end of the stick because the other guys only score. Like, Klay doesn't help Poole. Poole doesn't help Klay. Wiggins doesn't help either of them. And that's why kind of last night it was just kind of hitting me, you know. All right, if Poole's, when he plays well, he gives you a chance to win. So the real issue to me now becomes Wiggins and Klay Thompson. And the exaggerated question is, can they play together? And I think the answer might be, not well together. There's not one thing they do that complements each other. They're both shooters, but they're not shooting well. Neither of them pass. Neither of them rebound. And so you really got some deficiencies if they're not making shots when they're on the court. And Klay's not the defensive player he was, and Wiggins isn't the defensive player he was in the beginning of the year. So there becomes a lot of deficiencies if they're not making shots, and they're not.
So it becomes, I think, does it become Clay has to sacrifice? Because my first thought is Clay, because he knows he's going to get shots in the context of the offense. Like, Clay's going to get plenty of shots. But does Clay have to sacrifice maybe four or five shots to let Wiggins operate with the two of them on the floor together? Or does it just become, well, they can't be on the floor together?
Well, let me ask you this. If they're healthy, who's the start? Who starts?
Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond, and Looney.
Okay, so now you're going to move Poole to the bench, even though he's probably right now your most dynamic player, and that's fine. But when you move Poole to the bench, you've got to allow for the possibility that there'll be negative ramifications to that, if you know what I mean.
Do you think a better lineup would be Poole, Steph, Clay, Wiggins, and Draymond? Do you think that lineup, like, just start that lineup? And I know Looney's not the problem, and he would become, you know, basically sacrificed for that. But you're going to need a backup center. I mean, here's the other thing. The Warriors are still looking for who the backup center is going to be. Well, maybe the backup center at that point becomes Looney. Now, look, that's unrealistic. If you look at the standings, the Warriors would be playing Denver right now in the first round of the playoffs. So then you can't.
Right.
So what do you do? Because the fan base, I feel it's already, and Wiggins played well in the second half last night, but there's already, and it feels like a tidal wave of Jordan Poole's a burgeoning star, and right, he needs to be on the floor as much as possible. And if that means Wiggins isn't, because Wiggins just hadn't played well lately, so be it. But the Warriors can't look at it that way. They need them both in their own roles with Clay.
Yeah, and I don't like that lineup that you mentioned. I'm not crazy about that lineup too, because when you go Curry, Poole, Clay, Wiggins, I mean, they're not the same players, but it's not a great defensive four. As much as you want to say Wiggins is a great defender now, they got one guy who's really, you know, and this is the other thing. They've got one guy out of those four, obviously with Draymond, he'll be two, but looking to make plays for somebody else, but that's your best shooter. So like when Steph plays with those guys and he's trying to be a point guard, he's probably thinking to himself, all right, let's see if I can get Clay going and Wiggins going. The other thing is I have a scenario in my head where Jordan Poole is making a move and this is the time or two that he can't get by his man and make a play. Well, what are Wiggins and Clay doing? Because I'll tell you this, whoever gets the pass from Jordan Poole is going to shoot it. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Just going to shoot it, because that's what Clay's good at. But secondly, practically the clock will be running down. But secondly, it's like it's what they do. I don't think that four fits. I don't think that four brings out the best in all those players is what I'm getting at. Now, the other thing obviously would be, well, would you bring Wiggins off the bench, or God forbid, would you ever bring Clay off the bench? And I mean, honestly, JD, those are brutal decisions. So if you don't like the lineup you just gave to me, which I'm not crazy about
it, I like the other one worse with Wiggins on the bench.
Yeah. I mean, so it's not any, like, what would you start that five-some with Draymond at the five?
I couldn't do it if you're playing Denver. And you probably can't do it if you're playing Aiton either. At that point, it becomes, you know, really, really problematic. And you know what? You can't do it if you're playing Steven Adams. I would think as well, because he'd hit you on the boards.
Interestingly, I look at it as an offensive problem.
Right. Well, but you're getting hit on both ends. Like it's funny. I think we do disagree a little bit. Like, I look at it as, well, offensively, you're putting your best scorers on the court together, so you better figure it out, right? You got Steph Curry, you got all these guys out there. It's like, you better be able to score enough, but I get where you're coming from. I mean, it's not a lock. I'm just more apt to maybe look at some other reasons why you wouldn't want to do it, because I mean, the Warriors are hell bent on going small, I think, in stretches of games against all of these big men, Gobert, throw him in there as well. I just don't know that they want to start that way and then say, all right, and Kevon Looney's going to play 16 minutes and you're just going to run everybody else out there the rest. And if they do it to their – the other part of it is if they do it, it's going to be another thing that they haven't done all year that they're going to try to do in a playoff series when their backs are against the wall.
Right, right. I mean, the part about wanting to play small, that's the part that I've tried to really hammer home to all the people that say they need a big man. They need a big man. They look small. That's exactly right. And I'm not even going to sit here and say, you know, the people that think they need a big man are idiots, because they're not. They're right. But what you gotta hammer home to them, JD, is that the Warriors were the most dominant team in the league and had the most dominant lineup in the league when they went small. It might have been the best defensive team I've seen, you know, the last 10 or 15 years when they put their Hamptons 5 lineup out there. Now, obviously, Durant skewed it a little because he was 7 feet, but he's still playing small forward. So, like, that's the thing that I think some people kind of forget is Bogut was good and JaVale McGee helped and Spates knocked down a couple and all those things. But when it was money time, those guys weren't on the floor. It was the 5-man small unit. And I think there's still a mindset within the Warriors that that's always going to be their best way to win as long as they have Draymond, Steph, and Clay.
And I think that's going to be – so we're going to see Poole and Wiggins that's going to be the closing lineup, right? Or are we still – because I feel like that's where the conversation has shifted a little bit, which is it's become – I almost feel like because of the way Poole has played over the last 10, 12 games – it's now he better be in the closing lineup, whereas maybe before that it would have been if he's having a good game offensively, he'll be in the closing lineup.
I mean, yeah, but that's – like, listen, I don't want to rain on everybody's parade, but also Jordan Poole, this is going to be the first postseason he's in.
Yeah.
So because of that, not because I don't like Jordan Poole.
But you get him in high screen and roll. You get him in high screen and roll, he dominates.
Well, it's the playoffs, so – I wouldn't expect a first-time playoff guy to play at the same level. I don't expect Jordan Poole to play at this level in the postseason. There you go.
I don't either, but he has been a quick adjuster. Like mm-hmm. maybe he plays poorly the first couple games and then he figures it out as the games go on. Like I will give him credit for that.
You know, the one thing, and it's probably not the time to talk about it, but it's a podcast, so why not? Warriors do have – they're going to have a decision. They're going to have decisions to make this offseason, I think.
Yeah.
Because if and I know how it ends matters, but let's say they lose in the second round. Then what do you do? What do you do? I mean, you can trade
– Wiggins, go for it.
But you can try to trade Wiggins, but if you lose in the second round, his value is not going to be very high, and he will have been kind of exposed as – I don't want to say a fraud all-star, but – I think the league knows who Wiggins is, and even though he might have taken a nice jump in the first half of the season, essentially he's still Andrew Wiggins. So, you know, the guy who's got the big value would be Jordan Poole. And if the Warriors go down and it's not pretty, and now you look at Steph, Clay, and Draymond, and they're 34, 35, and 34, whatever they are, do you think let's move Jordan Poole for a really good veteran player, not over the hill, maybe 28 years old, to be a bridge between Curry and those guys and then Kuminga and those guys. But it'll take Poole. It's going to take Poole. And I think that's the decision they may have to make.
I think you're right. And I do think how it ends is going to ultimately determine that. And that's a great point about Wiggins' value. Let's say if Wiggins winds up not playing well in a playoff series and they go out even in the second round, I think the big question on top of that is going to be, because they're not – like Kuminga's untouchable with how he's playing. And I think Moody, they want to see, you know, Moody looks like he's going to be a rotation player with regularity probably by next year, right? Like he's just going to be able to be somebody you can count on for a certain amount of minutes in every single game. Wiseman's not going to have a lot of value because I've always said that's the other part of the conversation I think is going to be, would you move Wiseman to try and get you some help if you don't win it? But now, like, Poole may be the only player that actually would draw enough interest to where you could get somebody that could come in and maybe help put you over the top to try and win a title.
Yep. And you know, I'm with you. Kuminga's been very intriguing. The one reason I know Warrior fans are very excited about Kuminga, and I think he's very interesting also. But I do think here's where Curry, you got to be careful with guys like Kuminga. If you're a firm believer in that Steph Curry has rev, and I get it, Kuminga played last night and Curry didn't play. But if you're one of those firm believers, JD, in Curry's gravity and what he means to teammates, you know, it's almost like Kuminga will have to be judged along with all these other guys without Curry at some point. Like, what's Jonathan Kuminga without Curry? And I get it. It's easy to say, well, look at him last night.
Yeah.
And he was very good last night. But when you have a guy like Curry, he makes the game even easier. So now Kuminga may get two or three buckets that are easier than he got last night. And on a night last night, you start thinking about Kuminga's buckets and you're like, man, he made some great moves, good individual moves, tough finishes. Well, can he do that night in and night out at this point? Or was he making some shots last night that, you know, mate, you can't count on going in, you know, depending on your perspective there. So like, that's a big thing to me is, you know, how guys play when Curry's off the floor, which he's going to be more and more and more over the course of the rest of his career.
Yeah. He just has an ability where there are just some games where, and some matchups where he just has a big time advantage physically and athletically to where even now he can just go get his. And that's something that I think is a significant, like, I thought that the Heat, I know I mentioned this to you after the game, I thought one of the reasons the Warriors were actually able to play well last night was the Heat have some bruisers. Like they play physically. I don't view the Heat as an athletic team. Whereas you look at just like Orlando isn't a good team. Orlando stinks. Orlando has athletes. Like Orlando has guys that are long and they fly around and they're kind of awkward. That still bothers the Warriors, and it bothered them in that game where they lost in Orlando. Last night it was, you know, Miami's trying to maybe push the Warriors around a little bit, but they didn't have – like there wasn't an athletic overmatch. And I think at times the Warriors even with Kuminga had a little bit of an athletic overmatch on the Heat.
No, I'm with you. Like when you hear the name Bam Adebayo, I think a lot of people tend to think, yeah, boy, he's athletic. But, well, he's not the athlete Kuminga is.
He's a bruiser.
Exactly.
He's trying to go through you, not over you.
Exactly. And I'm not saying he's he doesn't have any – I mean, he's really, really good player, but he isn't a supreme athlete as NBA – bodies and stuff go. Like Kuminga's a better athlete. Like you showed that last night.
Yeah. And just file that one away. We'll put that one on the record right now. File that one away. If the Warriors somehow ended up playing the Heat in the finals, I actually think that's a game where they could, or a series where maybe they could look, a lot of things would have to happen, but they could maybe win a knockdown drag out kind of a deal. Hey, I got one for you to close. Draymond Green. I just saw this as we were getting ready to record this. Draymond Green said, on his podcast, okay, he said on his podcast that he would skip a Warriors game next year to attend LeBron breaking the all-time scoring record.
I don't believe him. Okay. I don't believe him. Flat out, I don't believe him. I just don't.
You just think
I don't think he would do that.
Trying to make headlines, wouldn't do it. Somebody would have to talk him out of it.
I think he thinks he might do it, and he talking about doing it, but he won't. I mean, I'm sorry. That's a bridge too far. That's you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
Right. And here's the other thing. And this happened. So Draymond got thrown out of the game in Orlando. Then they played the next game, said we got punked. Then after that, he clarified that he should have included himself more and he's responsible for all. And you know what? And I don't want to sound like Laura Ingram, but you know what, Draymond? You got to shut up and play now. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's 10 games left. All right. And I love Draymond Green. I actually love all his opinions. His basketball expertise is beyond reproach. But, I swear to God, I don't mean it disrespectfully, but there are 10 games left in the season. You know what I mean? It's like, we got to play. We got to start playing now. You know, it's not about how I'm going to see LeBron or let me give the state of the team. It's like, we got to get moving. So I don't know. I think he's dealing like, you know, ever since he came back, remember he went after Slater the first game back. It's like, come on now. You've been back for 5, 6, 8 games. Let's go. Let's start playing basketball. That's the way I mean it. Not like I never want to hear your opinion.
Yeah. And look, as cool as it would be to witness something like that, I mean, a lot of Warrior fans already have an issue thinking LeBron's in the tank, or I'm sorry, that Draymond's right in the tank for LeBron and
right
clutch and everything that's going on there. I mean, I can't imagine that flying that's where I know the Warriors give Draymond autonomy. That's one where if I'm Steve Kerr or Joe Lacob or Bob Myers, I'm like, you know what, Draymond, let's not do that. Like, right. Like that one.
Exactly.
That one's not going to happen.
It'd be tough for a Draymond fan to even back that one.
Exactly. One other quickie here on and I made this point last night to somebody, you know, like Draymond owes the guys that got the win last night something. And I think Clay even does too. And like owes him a dinner or a watch or a bottle of booze or something, because no, I mean this, like Jordan Poole and Kuminga and Damian Lee and Bielitsa. I mean, the guys that went and got that win last night and really played well, that win calmed a lot of things down. Like now they're 3 up on Utah,
right?
You know, now like think about what we'd be talking about today if the Warriors had just gone to Miami with that group that everybody thought they were going to lose and they got blown out by 20. Then we're talking about, well, why are these guys not playing? Like, why are these guys not, you know, taking nights off and things like after you get ejected? And now Draymond's talking about this thing with LeBron, like the core group that won them that game, I think gets a lot of credit for just kind of tamping down some of the whispers about trouble that this team has going on. Even if it's still the same and it doesn't change a lot big picture, it stops everybody from talking about it for, like you said, for 2 or 3 days.
Well, you were talking about it also stops fans from talking about them, meaning Damian Lee, Bielitsa, the guys who are easy targets. Well, they helped you win that game last night.
All right, that'll do it for us. Special bonus edition for Matt Steinmetz. I'm John Dickinson. Good stuff, my man. We'll talk again soon.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.